We are in the month of May, so it must be a good time for a Christmas story. The story we're going to look at today in the Bible is simply amazing. It should inspire us all in our faith that we have in the Lord. And the sermon title today is, Do You Believe? Do you today believe that God is really who He says He is and that He will do what He says that He will do? In the Christmas story today, we find out that Mary believed just exactly that. And if you turn with me to Luke chapter 1 this morning, Luke chapter 1, and I don't know how many times over the years that you've read this story and how many times that we have read it at Christmas time, but we go back to it today and we take in how amazing story that it actually is. In Luke chapter 1, we're going to go down to verse 26. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, and have come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? Is there anything any more amazing than the Immaculate Conception? Is there anything that is more amazing than what this angel had brought into Mary's hands? I don't think there is. So we ask ourselves, saints, is there anything that is too hard for God? Mary didn't think so. Mary didn't think there was anything that was too hard for God. If God said it, then I believe it. Let's read on verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 37, For with God, nothing will be impossible. That is from the word of an angel. An angel told her that with God, nothing is impossible. Let it be to me according to your word, Mary says. The angel said what? For with God nothing will be impossible. Do you believe that today? That with God there is nothing that is impossible. Our access to God today is by our faith. We are saved by our faith. We are healed by our faith. We are delivered by our faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. In verse 6 it says this. In verse 6 it says this. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But without faith it is impossible to please God. Now look at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The problem with the church in America today is not the belief in God who has lost, in believing in a God who has lost his power, but in a church that has lost its faith. The church in America overall has lost its faith. It's as if God can't do these things anymore. And all of a sudden we're taking God and we're putting him inside of a box of what he can do and what he cannot do. God is impossible to be put in a box and controlled, thinking he can do this, but he can't do this. He can do this, but he can't do this. Our God that we serve is a consuming fire, uncontrollable with his power and authority. We turn to the Great Commission in Matthew 28. We're going to look at both of them, in Matthew, and then we're going to go to Mark. So we go to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, and I'll back up. I'll read verse 17 to you. In verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some did what? They doubted. Because they didn't believe the resurrection had really happened. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority, all authority, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make the disciples of all nations." Every denomination believes what I'm going to tell you today, that transfer of authority went from the Son into the body of Christ to deliver the word of God to the world of an unbelieving world that we live in today. That was a transfer of authority, and it says it right there. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now do what? Go. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There's no limit to the power that is available to the believer today through our faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no limit to the power that the church has today. The only power that we have limited is because we limit the power of God. Now turn with me to the next illustration of the Great Commission in Mark. Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, it says this. So chapter 16, I want you to go over to verse 15. In verse 15, he says this, Mark 16, verse 15, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You all know that's a sign of the return of the Lord Jesus, is when the gospel has been communicated throughout the world. And I don't know where the holdouts are anymore, but we see that we're going into nations we had never gone into before, and they're being shared the gospel as never before. You know that the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is revival going on in Ukraine right now because of war and all the other things that have been going on, that there is revival that is spreading across that land because people need to see something other than bombs and missiles. They need to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We see here it says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe." I want you to listen to the signs today, saints. "In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." That is the church's job. That's your pastor's job. to lay hands on the sick, for you to lay hand on the sick, and for them to be recovered. That word has not changed. We are still living the Great Commission right now through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That power and that authority still belongs to the church. Church, we need to stand up and start using that power and using that authority that the Lord Jesus has given each and every one of us. Amen. We have the power over the powers of darkness, it says here. It says we will speak with new tongues. We will lay hands on the sick and they will do what? They will recover. Church, why would we want to settle for anything less than what God says is available to me and you? I don't want anything less. I want everything that God has got available. I want it. If there's something that God has available for me, I'm the first one to raise my hand. God, if that's for me, I want it for me also. Now turn with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, go to verse 13. James 5 and verse 13. Listen to the words that he says here. James 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, doing what? Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. But listen to verse 14 again. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. We have preachers out there today that say this: miracles stopped with the apostles. And then they go on in the second breath and say, well, God still answers prayer, but there is no so-called faith healing. Do they realize how stupid that sounds? By faith, God will answer your prayers, but he doesn't heal the sick, or he heals the sick because you're praying for them, but he won't heal the sick if you do what the scripture says by anointing them with oil and praying over them. If we think that the book of Acts closed on chapter 2 and that isn't in existence anymore, we're making a vital mistake in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. God does not limit his power. We do. Well, you have to admit, Pastor, not everyone is healed that you pray for. And I have to tell you that that is a true statement. Not everyone that I've ever prayed for and anointed with oil, were they healed. But let me ask you, where in our prayer life is that part of the equation? It's not there. Do we see that in the book of James? The book of James says, well, you might anoint them with oil, but they might not be healed. That's not part of the equation. Then what you're doing is you're putting your thoughts and you're subjecting your thoughts into your prayer life, and you're limiting God because you're walking in unbelief. All of a sudden, you went from belief to unbelief. Well, maybe it won't happen. If that is part of your prayer, your faith prayer equation, then you will get what you prayed for. Nothing. What does it say here in James? Just exactly what we read. Anoint them with oil, pray for them, and they will be healed. If wondering about or thinking that they might not be healed, then you're walking in unbelief. Look at James chapter 1. Just go back a couple pages and go to James chapter 1, verse 6. In James chapter 1 and verse 6, listen to what he says. He says, but let him ask in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all ways. He says, if you're praying for somebody, and at the same time that you're praying for them, you don't think that this is really going to work, he is saying to us that we are double-minded. You're not walking in faith. Is it possible to be faithful but walk in unbelief? I'll say that again because it's a very important point in our life in the Lord Jesus. Is it possible for you to be a faithful person to the Lord Jesus? You know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but on the other hand, at times that you walk in unbelief? And the answer is yes, it is very possible, because we're going to look at somebody that did that. We're going to go back to the Christmas story, and I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 1. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, I want you to go down to verse 5. So Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, and it says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest by the name of Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife were the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now listen to the words in verse 6. And they were both righteous before God. Let's get it straight. Were they faithful or not? Yes, they were. They were faithful. They were righteous before God. Meaning what? They were upright before God. They were doing the things that God commanded them to do. It says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. They were blameless. They were blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in their years. We're going to find out that here in Zacharias' life, that he was a righteous man, he was a faithful man, he was an honorable man, he was standing upright before the Lord, but he was walking in unbelief. We go to verse 8. In verse 8 it says this, so it was that while they were serving as priests before God in the order of the division, according to the custom of the priesthood, he had to take his turn. His lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. You too would happen. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, which will be John the Baptist. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from the mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Oh, but start to tune in. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall this I know this, for I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. who stands in the presence of God and who was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Zacharias was faithful, but in this point in time of his life, he was walking in unbelief. Sometimes, because of life's challenges, let's all be honest, we can all waver between the two sometimes. But let me ask you for the next 10 minutes. For the next 10 minutes, I want you to clear your mind and say, for the next 10 minutes, I am going to walk in faith. That there is nothing that is impossible for God, that all things are possible through the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you a story. I told the guys at Men's Fellowship breakfast yesterday, I had a testimony to share with them, but I was going to wait to do it in the church today. 2 weeks ago, I came in and the construction guys were working over there. And one of the guys was, they had told me that he had been very, very sick. He was working with Kevin. I see Kevin's here today. He can verify it. And his name's Jeff. In fact, he told me afterwards, he says, if you haven't told the church, you can. You can. I said, well, I hadn't yet, but he says, I want to tell you, you can. Jeff suffers from Meniere's disease. And I don't know if anybody has ever had that, but you lose your equilibrium, you lose your balance. And him and Kevin were working together one day inside of a garage, and all of a sudden it struck him. And when it struck him, Jeff actually said, I could not find the wall to get my hand against to brace myself. He says, I went completely down. And I told Kevin that he needed to take me home, and he took him home. He says, I'll get sick to my stomach and I will vomit. He says, the only thing I can do is go to a quiet room with the lights off and close my eyes, and sometimes after four or five hours, it will pass and I can get back up. And he told me that day, because I said, well, I heard you had not been feeling well, and he told me that. And he says, we were outside, and they were getting stuff out of the trailer to go to work. And he says, you know, if you would remember me in prayer, I would appreciate that, or your church. Now, this is what he said. This is what he said. I believe. Very simple, isn't it? I believe. When he told me, I believe, I said, well, let's take care of that right now, because I had anointing oil in a pickup. And I got out of the pickup. Jeff and I and Kevin came into the church in the old sanctuary in the schoolhouse, and I anointed him with oil, and I prayed over him. And then I left, and I come back, and you know, I was a little concerned about it. You know, some people you can make feel kind of uncomfortable when you're around a Holy Ghost-filled preacher. And I thought, well, maybe I've made him feel uncomfortable. I embarrassed him. You know, many times you'll go to churches, never be anointed with oil. And I got to thinking about it. Boy, if I'd have started praying in tongues, he'd have probably fell apart right there on the spot. But I came back in and I said, Jeff, I hope, and because I didn't want to embarrass him, I said, I hope that did not embarrass you. He says, no, it did not. It did not embarrass me. It might have a little, but he didn't want to say. Well, what do you think happened this week when I come back? He says, you can tell your church I've been healed of that. Amen. Amen. I've been healed of that. And I believe. And I praise God and rejoice with God with him. Now, I bet that there's somebody here today that has a sickness or they have something that's been bothering them for a long time, and I asked you 5 minutes ago, in the next 10 minutes, would you believe? That's all that's required, is for you to believe that God is who he says he is, and that God will do what he says he will do. You can say, well, I would be more comfortable if an angel came and talked to me. You got the whole word of God, God's breath speaking to you today. Testimony after testimony after testimony of those that had great faith, and because they had great faith, they were healed. The woman with the issue of the blood, it says, if I can only touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be made whole. What was she saying? I believe.